Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Last time we were talking about the good actions, or we can say the good works, that Christian people do in the providence of God. And I will remind you that we spoke specifically of Christians. Jesus Christ presents himself to us and gifts us with the faith we then use to trust in him for the forgiveness of our sins. And at that very moment, the Holy Spirit moves into our lives and draws us in obedience to Christ. We are unable to do good works by our own sinful will, by our own power, and by our own strength. We need the Holy Spirit. We cannot live the Christian life without depending wholly on the Holy Spirit. And it is the Spirit of God within Christian people that enables us to do good. So God's providence is actively at work within us to produce our good actions. We looked at one Old Testament scripture, Ezekiel 36:27, and two New Testament scriptures, 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, and Galatians 5:22-25. What we found in all three is the truth that Christ's people are unable to do good works without the Holy Spirit. To be sure, believers have good actions, but these good actions are always driven by the supernatural grace of our Heavenly Father, God. We can say, for the good works, for the good actions we do, God gets the credit. But then the question is asked, what about our bad actions? As I asked last week, does God direct the will in the same way when we do good as when we do bad, or is there a difference? And we quickly said there is a difference. When we do good, God is the author of the good. But when we do evil, God is not the author of our evil. This is what we want to look at a bit more closely today, and this will not take us long to do. And the reason we can move rather speedily is because we have already seen in the evil acts of Joseph's brothers and Christ's killers that God is never the cause of our sinful actions. And holy God certainly never approves of our sinful actions. Never. All that God does is to permit sinful acts, and then after we have committed them, he will direct, limit and restrain, and overrule our evil acts for his good purpose. Here, I want to pick up on something one of our favorite theologians wrote. We are now familiar with Francis Turretin, and he astutely said that when we do evil acts, God has not assisted us, nor has God approved us to do them. God has not infused us with wickedness. He has not. All that God has done is permitted us to sin. He says, we move and determine ourselves to bad actions, performing them freely and voluntarily. And then he adds this, the guilt rests upon us alone, from which God is therefore free. This is very important, so let me repeat this. We need to hear truth repeatedly so that we really can grasp what is being said to us. When we do evil acts, God has not assisted us, nor has God approved us to do them. God has not infused us with wickedness. All that God has done is permitted us to sin. We move and determine ourselves to bad actions, performing them freely and voluntarily. The guilt rests upon us alone, from which God is therefore free. We can say, for the bad works, for the bad actions we do, we get the blame. So that in summary to these few days, talking about how the providence of God relates to our good actions and to our bad, sinful, and evil actions, we say this. For the good actions we do, God gets the credit. For the bad actions we do, we get the blame. For the good actions we do, God gets the credit. For the bad actions we do, we get the blame. I think this is a good way for us to remember what we have been learning together. Okay, now I want to pivot, and I hope you will take this turn with me. We're coming down the home stretch now of finishing our discussion on the providence of God. These are just two insights that we have remaining that I want to share with you. We have pulled up out of our verse-by-verse walk through Genesis chapter 3 so that we can discuss the providence of God, which we have applied to Genesis 3, and this question: why did God allow for evil and sin? That is, the answer to this question is the providence of God. Before we end this study and return to Genesis 3 at verse 6, I want to draw your attention back to my definition of providence and make two more points briefly. So here again is the definition. By providence, we mean God preserves everyone and everything he has created, and that God directs the actions of everyone and everything he has created, working all things together for his honor and his glory. The first of two remaining insights picks up on this: God working all things together. That very phrase will remind many of you, and anyone who knows the scripture well, of a Bible verse that Christians love to quote, a text that is very precious to us. I say, working all things together, and you think of Romans 8:28, right? What does Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 say? And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. These are the words of the Apostle Paul to the church at ancient Rome in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Notice that God does what? God causes all things to work together. Friends, that is providence. On providence, we say, God directs the actions of everyone and everything he has created, working all things together. And we have seen how even evil and sinful deeds are included in the all things God works together. And here now at Romans 8:28, we find God again causing all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Whenever we read Romans 8:28, we often wonder, God, will you somehow be able to take the evil done against me, this sin I am on the receiving end of, and will you make even this to work together for my good? And the answer providentially is yes. If you are human, and certainly if you are like me, then someone or someone's plural have sinned against you. Maybe you have even labored under some evil. This is a potently painful experience in life. And as Christians, we wonder about it. Can what we have experienced be a part of the all things working together for our good? Well, that is an honest and sincere question. And I trust that as you followed along in the life of Joseph and the crucifixion of Jesus, you have seen in the scripture what I have also seen. Indeed, sin and evil done against us, and our sin done against others. Do not forget about that. Even all of this evil and sin is somehow, miraculously, yes, taken by God and worked together for our good. And this is because the Lord loves us and has called us according to his purpose. There is providence again, his purpose. God has a plan. God has an end in mind. God has a reason for permitting, for allowing us to be sinned against, and us to be on the receiving end even of some evil. And the question comes to us, are we willing to trust the Lord to bring good out of evil? Will we trust him? I ask you this question even as I ask myself. Will we trust in the Lord? As we uncovered the providence of God in Scripture, Genesis 50, verse 20, really stood out to us. Do you remember this verse? Joseph is speaking to his brothers, and Joseph says, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." I would like to propose today that we have found the New Testament equivalent to Genesis 50:20, and that is here at Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. If you take notes, and if there is a place you write in the margins of your Bible or in the notes section of your Bible app, I invite you to write the providence of God. And underneath that phrase, write in Genesis 50:20 and Romans 8:28. This will prompt you to remember and apply to your life all that we have been learning together. I am a big note taker, and my Bible is full of notes, because that is how I learn, and that is how I remember what I have already learned. I said I had two last insights to leave with you on the providence of God, both emerging out of our definition of providence, and here is the second one. God preserves everyone and everything he has created, and God directs the actions of everyone and everything he has created, working all things together, notice, for his honor and his glory. Tomorrow, I want us to focus on the honor and glory of God, the ultimate purpose towards which the providence of God exists is God's honor and God's glory. So join me tomorrow as we continue to discover who God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.